Hello and welcome to Volume 44, Number 52 of Grapevine, your weekly local news magazine. Brought to you by the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association, this edition is published on Friday the 27th of December 2024. I'm Graham, your presenter, joined for the last of the year edition by newsreader Andy, plus Margaret and Dusty. And in the news this week, the traffic police are on the lookout, scammers are masquerading as the police, and the town's taxi drivers are up in arms. In addition, we have some thoughts from Dusty, a tale from Andy, and some reminiscing by Margaret. All this coming your way during the next hour or so, but no birthdays this week, so we'll move straight on to some bus news which might affect some listeners. This is a piece from Edward Bates at the Yarmouth Hub of Vision Norfolk. From Monday, January the 6th, there will be no buses stopping at Market Gates, as this is where the works will begin to make Market Gates two-way, but also a reminder that buses will not be stopping at Stonecutters Quay or at the Town Hall, which are two useful services for those of you who visit the hub. He continues, this report has been kindly compiled by one of our members. At Vision Norfolk in Great Yarmouth, we had a meeting with Andy Wagg and Ian Rankin from First Bus. They came to explain the temporary bus stop situation when Market Gates is being updated. The work should start on the 6th of January and end in April. While the work is carried out, all buses from Galston will stop opposite Great Yarmouth Police Station. All buses going south to Galston and Lowestoft will pick up passengers on Regent Street opposite the Acorn Centre. The exception being buses 2 and 3 that will leave from Alexandra Road near St George's Park. The X1 going to Norwich will stop behind Palmer's car park. These are all temporary stops while the work is being carried out. Please do pass this on to any users who are regulars on these routes. And if you have any queries, please speak to Vision Norfolk. Okay, time for the first part of two parts of news this week. Here's Andy.
Hello, and I have your Christmas news. And we'll start, as is my usual pattern, with the sort of police stories, of which I'm pleased to say there are very few. However, we'll start with drivers found committing offences. Almost 92% of drivers were found to be committing offences during a police crackdown on the A47. Police units lined an Acorn lay-by to target vans and other commercial vehicles to check for defects and other offences. And during the day, they pulled over 37 vehicles, and with 34 of those found to be breaking the law in various ways. 10 were found to have immediate mechanical prohibitions and needed attention before being driven again. Other problems included 5 vehicles being overweight, 5 drivers using mobile phones, and 9 more speeding. A spokesman for Broadland Police said, "Neighbourhood policing officers in Acle currently have road safety as one of their priorities and work with many units within the constabulary and partner agencies to tackle different aspects of this issue. The next item, well, sort of policey related, parking fines. Town bosses raked in almost £250,000 over the past 6 years from car parking fines. From the beginning of 2019 until October the 31st this year, people paid a total of £242,268.71 in car park penalties to Great Yarmouth Borough Council. The most lucrative part of the town was King Street, where motorists were charged with fines worth more than £39,000. The fines were issued from across almost 30 car parks owned by the Borough Council, stretching from Galston's Marine Parade to Beach Road in Caister. Revenue from penalties plummeted to £24,318 in 2020, less than half of 2019's total, which was £57,251, a reflection of the pandemic's impact on tourism and local activity. However, a steady resurgence followed, with 2023 recording a peak of £45,115, and in 2024, up to October 31st, motorists have already paid the council £33,700 in fines. The money generated from fines goes back into the Norfolk Parking Partnership, a collaboration between Norfolk's councils, and is used to cover the spending on enforcement, maintenance and back office costs. Penalty charge notices are given by civil enforcement officers to drivers who ignore restrictions, such as by parking on yellow lines, not buying pay and display tickets, or staying too long in time-limited spaces. We have a brief report here of a large police presence. A large emergency service presence was spotted on the Norfolk coast on Christmas Day afternoon. Three police cars, a police van and an ambulance attended an incident on Great Yarmouth Seafront at around 4 p.m. An eyewitness said it looked as though officers were restraining a man on the ground, but the nature of the incident is currently unknown. And my last police story is actually not a police story. It's scammers pretending to be police officers. And this is something we all have to be wary of these days, isn't it? Scammers pretending to be police officers are targeting people in and around Great Yarmouth. Three locals reported receiving phone calls from people claiming to be Norfolk police officers last Monday. There was a fourth unsuccessful attempt on Christmas Eve morning. Some of these tricksters quoted fake police collars or badge numbers to seem more authentic. Others were able to recite the recipient's full name and address. The scammers stated they were calling to warn people of suspicious activity on their bank accounts. They proceeded to ask for personal information to cross-check the case details. A Norfolk Constabulary spokeswoman said, "Your bank or the police will never be asked to withdraw or send money or purchase items. Your bank or the police will also never ask for your PIN number, bank card or bank account details over the phone. Never give these details to anybody. And if you're unsure about a situation, call the police." Wise advice. Landlord complaints see an increase. Gripes about private landlords in Great Yarmouth have seen a dramatic rise in recent years. According to data obtained through a Freedom of Information request, the 5 years from 2019 to 2024 saw complaints increase by 66%, from 334 in 2019 to 20 to 556 complaints in 2023-24. Issues cited by tenants include disrepair, which was 418 complaints, damp conditions, 252, overcrowding, 42, or gas or electrical concerns, which were 70 complaints combined. Other complaints involve fire safety, 28 number, licensing requests, 34, and compliance for houses in multiple occupation, which accounted for the largest category, with 647 complaints. Miscellaneous issues made up another 425 of the cases. The figures come as the current Labour government is proposing a Renters' Rights Bill, a piece of legislation that aims to improve the rights and protections of renters in the UK. The legislation would ban no-fault evictions, introduce a new standard to ensure properties are safe and habitable, and require landlords to fix serious health hazards like dampness or mould within a set time frame. And a report now regarding a care home and a youth scheme. A Norfolk care home has sparked anger after putting a scheme that allows young people to befriend its residents under review. Since the COVID lockdown, the Young People of the Year charity has run a befriending scheme in a number of care homes. The initiative sees young people volunteer to offer support to lonely care home residents. During the pandemic, the volunteers would send letters and record videos, but once restrictions were lifted, they started to visit the homes and have even organised parties. But Tony Gearing, the charity's founder, has said that Lydia Eva Court in Galston is now banning youngsters from taking part. He said that despite training 16 new students from East Norfolk Sixth Form College to become a new cohort of volunteers, the home has told him they're no longer wanted. Mr. Gearing said, "Being a Youth People of the Year befriend a volunteer improves the life chances of young people, while their visits to care homes enrich the lives of elderly residents, many of whom are abandoned by relatives. It feels like our volunteers have been dumped after they supported the home for years." However, Norse Care, which runs the home, said it was waiting on Mr. Gearing to contact Lydia Eva Court with details the home had requested. A spokesman said, "Lydia Eva Court has expressed an interest in reviewing their subscription with the charity. We recently contacted Mr. Gearing to request any relevant contract or service level agreement documentation related to the charity, but we're still awaiting his response." Alongside Lydia Eva Court, the charity has also provided support for two other Norse sites in the Yarmouth area, the Lawns in Great Yarmouth and St Augustine's in Galston. The Norse spokeswoman added, "Norse Care has not made a decision to discontinue the use of Young People of the Year volunteers."
More news in just a while. First, though, here's Dusty with some seasonal thoughts.
Christmas always brings back memories, and as I have lots of years behind me rather now than in front, I kind of equate with all sorts of things that I read. And one of the beautiful things is a description that I'll never forget from Wind in the Willows. And it just brings me back to my days in the police force when we used to go on duty at the Christmas week because the people who had families would like to be with their children. So it was always us who used to plod the streets. And I just feel that this description really sums up how I used to feel on, say, Christmas night or Boxing Day early in the morning. The rapid nightfall of mid-December had quite beset the little village as they approached it on soft feet over a first thin fall of powdery snow. Little was visible but squares of a dusky orange-red on either side of the street, where the firelight or lamplight of each cottage overflowed through the casements into the dark world without. Most of the low latticed windows were innocent of blinds, and to the lookers-in from outside, the inmates gathered round the tea-table, absorbed in handiwork, or talking with laughter and gesture, had each that happy grace which is the last thing the skilled actor shall capture, the natural grace which goes with perfect unconsciousness of observation. Moving at will from one theatre to another, the two spectators, so far from home themselves, had something of wistfulness in their eyes as they watched a cat being stroked, a sleepy child picked up and huddled off to bed, or a tired man stretch and knock out his pipe on the end of a smouldering log. I think that's a beautiful description of a Christmas Eve or night, and I'd like to leave that one with you to think about. Now I'm going to move on to something which is very important to our listeners, and of course that is listening. If you can't see terribly well, your senses of listening are often heightened, aren't they? And this little poem is called Listening to Christmas. Have you ever heard snow? Not the howling wind of a blizzard, not the crackling of snow underfoot, but the actual falling of snow. We heard it one night in Wisconsin, quite unexpectedly, while walking up a hill toward our cabin in the woods, a soft whisper between footsteps. We stopped, switched off our flashlights, and just listened. All around us in the darkness, we heard the gentle fall of snow on snow. No wind, no sound, but the snow. Have you ever heard Christmas? Not the traffic noises in the city, not the bells and hymns and carols, beautiful as they are, not even the laughter of your children as they open their presents, but Christmas itself? Have you ever been by yourself and just sat and listened to the silence within, patiently, without letting the mind race to the next Christmas chore? Perhaps if you have, you felt the pulse of all humanity beating in your own heart. Perhaps you noticed an outflowing of love for all your brothers and sisters on the earth, a soft sense of oneness with all that lives. In the silence of a snowy night, listen intently, holding your breath, and you may hear snow on snow. Serene, alone, undisturbed by thought, listen to the silence in your heart, and you may hear Christmas.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you'd love me so, let it snow, let it snow and snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really grab me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Dusty, followed by Dean Martin, and definitely our last Christmas tune for this year. But not the last Christmas story, as Andy has a heartwarming tale for the season.
And I have a Christmas story, and it concerns the Christmas orange. Jake was a resident of an orphan's home, one of 10 children supported by what contributions the home could secure on a continuous struggle. There was very little to eat, but at Christmas there always seemed to be a little more than usual to eat, and the home seemed a little warmer. It was a time for more than usual enjoyment, but more than this, there was the orange. At Christmas time, each child received an orange, the only time of year that such a rare item was provided. And it was coveted by each child like no other thing they ever possessed. They would save it for several days, admiring it, feeling it, loving it, and contemplating the moment when they would eat it. Truly, it was a pièce de résistance to the Christmas tide, and the year, for many, would wait until New Year's Day or later to eat it. This Christmas Day, Jake had offended the rules of authority at the home in some manner, and his punishment was loss of the orange privilege. After a year of waiting for this rare occasion and this most desired of all rewards, it was to be denied. The plaintiff's pleading was to no avail. Although the offence was rather minor, still it was an infraction of such rules that must govern in regulated society. Jake spent Christmas Day empty and alone. It even seemed the other children didn't want to associate with a person who didn't have an orange. Nighttime arrived, and this was the worst time of all for Jake. He could not sleep. There could be no God that would permit a contrite little soul to suffer so much by himself. Silently, he sobbed for the future of mankind, and perhaps the world, but mostly because he didn't have an orange like the other kids had. A soft hand placed on Jake's shoulder startled him momentarily, and an object was quickly shoved into his hands. The donor disappeared into the dark of the room, leaving Jake with what he did not immediately identify as an orange. Not a regular run of the orange, but one fabricated from segments of 9 other oranges. 9 other highly prized oranges that would, of necessity, be eaten this day instead of several days hence. May we all share a part of ourselves this Christmas season, and a Happy New Year.
There's a calm surrender to the rush of day. When the heat of a rolling wind can't be turned away, an enchanted moment, and it sees me through. It's enough for this restless warrior just to be with you. And can you feel the love? It is where we are. It's enough for this wide-eyed wanderer that we got this far. And can bonds, leave the very best. There's a time for everyone if they only learn that the twisting kaleidoscope moves us all in turn. There's a rhyme and reason to the wild outdoors when the heart of the star-crossed Voyager beats in time with yours. It is where we are. It's enough for this wide-eyed wanderer that we got this far. Make kings and vagabonds believe the very best.
Can you feel the love tonight? Elton John and his song from The Lion King. Right, the last of this year's news now, followed closely by some post-Christmas thoughts from Margaret.
Oh, we've got a big dispute about a taxi rank change here. Taxi drivers have been left furious after being swept aside in favour of buses, as major changes to the Market Gates road network will mean one of the busiest ranks will be closed. Great Yarmouth's cabbies say a proposal to stop them from picking up customers outside the Troll Cart, which is one of the most popular pubs, before 11 p.m, will lead to a considerable loss of earnings. It comes as Norfolk County Council intends to alter bus routes in the Market Gates area and create a new bus lane travelling in the opposite direction to traffic currently in order to cut journey times. Under the proposals, drivers will only be able to use the Temple Road taxi rank outside that Wetherspoon pub between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. This is to allow for a new bus lane to be created, which will run in the opposite direction from the current flow of traffic. As a compromise, the taxi round outside Theatre Plain will be expanded to allow for 12 cars in total. New taxi ranks will also be built at the Market Gates Road on both the north and south sides. Norfolk County Council say the project will make bus journeys quicker and more reliable, separate buses from general traffic, and boost the local economy. Work is due to start commencing on January 25 and is due to be completed by May 2025. Great Yarmouth Borough Council's Licensing Committee had previously blocked the changes to the taxi rank at a meeting in November. However, Conservative councillors subsequently put forward a motion to revisit this decision at a full council meeting this month. The proposed changes have frustrated taxi drivers in the town, who feel they're being steamrolled through without proper consideration for how it may affect their trade. Sean Morley, a spokesman for the Great Yarmouth Taxi Association, said, "The Troll Cart rank is our mainstay of our business, and it's one of the busiest areas." Ron Simmons, a retired driver, who now works as a legal representative for the Taxi Association, added, "About 200 drivers will be significantly harmed by these changes. A lack of good taxi ranks in the town means that drivers give up earlier as they're not getting decent fares." Now, a nice positive story about the Broads. The Norfolk Broads has been hailed as one of the UK's best national parks. The Broads area was included in the Telegraph's ranking and was picked up by travel expert Sarah Baxter, who grew up in the area. "It doesn't have the high drama of the Lakes or Snowdonia," she wrote, "but it's fitting for our times. A place to log off and go slow." She recommended exploring the man-made waterways by boat and climbing Ranworth Church, the cathedral of the Broads, to soak up the views. The Fur and Feather pub at Sadhouse also earned a shout-out as the best place to stop off for a pint. The Broads, which were formed when disused peat workings flooded, spans 303 kilometres and boasts a rich history. An abundance of wildlife has since flocked to the area, and thousands of people visit each year in hopes of spotting some rare species. In 1988, the government granted the Broads protection similar to that of a national park, and the region has been called the Norfolk Broads National Park ever since. And now a story of a man who's turned his home into a 1940s film shrine. A movie fan has transformed his great Yarmouth home into a shrine dedicated to 1940s and 1950s films. Mark Williams' house is filled with classic posters, life-size movie monsters, and original creations inspired by his love for films from the 40s and 50s. His three-story Victorian house is a treasure trove of film memorabilia, with references to classic movies everywhere. Among the full-size replicas he's made are Boris Karloff as Frankenstein's monster, the long-dead Mrs. Bates from Psycho, and a bug-eyed alien from Invasion of the Saucer Men. His lounge features fortune teller Madame Orloff in her cubicle, while one of the bedrooms is accessed via police door to the TARDIS. He moved to Yarmouth in 2018, bringing with him his staggering movie and theatre collection. Mr. Williams spent most of his working life in the theatre, including 37 years at the famous Odeon Hammersmith in London. He said, "I'll always find room for more." It's fair to say that this is not a minimalist house. "It's full of things that make me smile and inspire my imagination. I'm always on the lookout for something new to add or make." He has thousands of DVDs and books on film, theatre, and anything connected to early horror or sci-fi genres. Mr. Williams has recently channeled his skills into making 7 giant caricature heads of famous rock stars. These are being used in Snow White, this year's pantomime at St. George's Theatre in Yarmouth, which runs until the 31st of January. The rock star heads are worn by young dancers from the Nabjab Dance Studios and are voiced by leading impressionist, the man they call G. And my last story is Great Yarmouth Animal Rescue Story. And I'll try and do this as best I can, bearing in mind the season. 11 seagulls soaring, 7 cats are purring, 7 dogs are barking, 3 pigeons cooing, 5 cows are mooing, 28 deers are struggling, 1 trapped donkey, 15 waterlogged horses, and a swan saved from Haddisco. Data from Norfolk Fire and Rescue Service reveals that at least 85 animals have been rescued around Great Yarmouth since 2019. Deer led the list with dozens of rescues, but cats, dogs, horses, and even cows featured prominently. In 2022, one unlucky deer got so tightly wedged upside down in a tiny gap between an outside wall and an oil tank in Winterton, it was unable to wriggle free. A fire crew from Yarmouth took over an hour to free the animal, which was unharmed. Rescue incidents peaked in 2021, before dropping to 7 in 2023, only to rise again to 12 in 2024. In 24 cases, the RSPCA partnered with crews to ensure animals receive care and attention. And that's the end of my news items. And it only remains for me to wish you a very happy and prosperous new year.
Well, now the excitement of Christmas is all over and done with. And how many of you can remember the time just after Christmas when, supervised by your mum, you had to sit and write all those boring thank you letters? Oh dear, yes, I remember it well. Anyway, I came across this poem in a book that was lent to me by Dusty, and I thought you might enjoy it. It's A Christmas Thank You by Mike Gower. Dear Auntie, oh, what a nice jumper. I've always adored powder blue. And fancy you thinking of orange and pink for the stripes. How clever of you. Dear Uncle, the soap's terrific, so useful, and such a kind thought. And how did you guess that I just used the last of the soap that last Christmas brought? Dear Gran, many thanks for the hankies. Now I really can't wait for the flu, and the daisies embroidered in red around the M for Michael. How thoughtful of you. Dear cousin, what socks, and the same you wear. So you must be the last word in style, and I'm certain you're right that luminous green will make me stand out a mile. Dear sister, I quite understand your concern. It's a risk sending jam in the post. But I think I've pulled out all the big bits of glass so it won't taste too sharp to spread on toast. Dear Grandad, don't fret, I'm delighted, so don't think your gift will offend. I'm not at all hurt that you gave up this year and just sent me a fiver to spend. Well, that's it from me for this year. So can I wish you all a very happy new year, and keep safe and keep warm, and most of all, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for the entry iron. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the entry iron. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the bird and bees. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the bird and bees. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the family circle. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the family circle. Thank you very much. Thank you very, 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 very much. You don't know how much they all mean. They seem much better in my dreams. Thank you very much for the entry iron. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the entry iron. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for
love.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for
love.
Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the Sunday joints. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the Sunday joints.
And our cultural heritage.
National beverage.
Being fat.
Union Jack.
The nursery rhymes.
Sunday Times.
The nap and bomb.
Everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very, 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 very much. It was simply spiffing and true. Let me whisper, I love you. Thank you very much for the entry iron. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the entry iron. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for playing this record. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for playing this record. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for our gracious tea. Thank you very much, thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for our gracious team. Thank you very, very, very.
much.
The Scaffold, who included Mike McGear amongst their number, who was actually Mike McCartney, Paul's brother. And that's the last of any of my useless facts for the year, as we leap into this. Well, that's it for this week's edition, which is copyright 2024 of the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association. News content is adapted mainly from the Great Yarmouth Mercury. However, the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association accept responsibility for editorial decisions made for this recording. Your newsreader next week will be Margaret. So, as the saying goes, we hope for your company then for much more of your local news. In the meantime, from all of us here at Grapevine, stay safe and well, have a very happy new year, and bye for now.